Throughout every age of human history, there have been those men that have put their trust in God. These men have bravely endured the oppositions of evil men. The hand of God miraculously delivered some, while others graciously suffered for their Savior. No matter the outcome of the differing circumstances that these individuals faced, they all had in common a faith in God, and a faith that would not waver, a faith that believed that God cares for those that are His. And perhaps there's no greater example of that unwavering faith than what we'll consider this morning from our study. So I invite you to take your Bible, please, and open with me to Daniel chapter 3 this morning. Daniel chapter 3. It was just a little over a year ago in our evening services that we were studying together through this book, and we came to this chapter and we considered it from a different perspective than what we'll do this morning. But Daniel chapter 3 this morning, as we look at the example of the faith of three men, we know them most commonly as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The event in Daniel 3 is them going through the burning fiery furnace. And this morning, what I want you to see with me is simply this concept, that when we by faith serve our God, when we by faith walk and serve Him and seek to do His will, He supplies for us all of our needs, and we find what I'm going to call this morning the satisfying compensations of our God. I want you to follow along with me, if you would, as I begin reading in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then we're going to read down through verse 25, and we'll have a word of prayer. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. And he rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we ask and pray that as we come to the passage before us this morning, as we consider the satisfying compensations of our God, that you would encourage each and every one of us to walk and live by faith. Father, no matter what we have to endure, no matter what hardship we must either go through or are relieved from, we are always relieved when we have the time with you that we need. There is a joy and a blessing for all who are willing to walk by faith and not by sight. It is a challenge to each and every one of us. For Lord, even as we considered Wednesday night in our study of Psalm 13, the reality is when complications arise, we pray and ask for the complication to be removed. Yet you in love desire to change us and make us more like Christ, to conform us to his image, and character is more important than our complications. So Father, I pray that you would teach us now through this section as we look at it this morning about the wonderful joy and the blessing that is ours when we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that you will compensate those who follow you. So Lord, we ask and pray again your help, your understanding in this matter, in Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps you remember from our study of the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar has just now become the most powerful man in the world. Babylon has conquered the Assyrian Empire. He is now the supreme ruler of the world. He has overthrown the kingdom of Judah, and as part of God's judgment for their idolatry and that seizing of that nation, the best of the young men of Judah have been brought back to Babylon to be trained as rulers in his kingdom. In that group of men, we find four: Daniel, Hananiah, that we often know as Shadrach, Mishael or Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. In Daniel chapter 1, we saw those four men willing to stand and not be willing to eat the portion of the king's meat. Daniel purposing in his heart that he would not defile himself in this place of idolatry, this place of wickedness. These three men have found favor in the sight of the king. But on this day, these three are brought before the whole realm of the kingdom. We're not told where Daniel is, but he isn't there, for he would not have bowed the knee at that time. And we see that as we go on further in the study of the book of Daniel. But what we do recognize and realize is that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faced a trial, a test of their faith in God. Nebuchadnezzar has erected an image, really one of himself, to bring glory unto himself. His desire was to be worshipped as God, the supreme ruler of the world. So he commanded that when the music began to play, that all within the realm of his kingdom would bow down and worship the image that he had just created. The story that before us is really remarkable, and perhaps a favorite of many. It's probably perhaps one of those favorite stories that we remember from our childhood in Sunday school. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace, or Daniel in the lion's den. These are wonderful stories. But in this event, we find out how we can have a faith that is unwavering. A faith that stands the test of time. And as we begin this morning, I want to see several things concerning our faith, that which could help us as we go through those times and tests and trials of our faith. Because, folks, all of us face them. All of us go through them. Sometimes we are delivered from a trial, sometimes we're delivered through a trial. But the reality is, we all go through those times where our faith in God is tested. where a circumstance, a complication arises that for us just seems to be beyond the limit of what we are able to handle and what we are able to endure. And as God tests us through that, what he wants you and I to know is that there are those resources available to our faith. And those that are willing to walk by faith and not by sight, God says, I will compensate. Folks, I can say to you honestly, there is no greater compensation package on this earth that is greater than the compensation package of our God. And those who walk by faith will know the satisfying compensations of Almighty God. As we begin to look at the story this morning, I want you to note with me the resources of our faith. What allowed these three men to boldly stand while others bowed to the pressures of the king? And by the way, in that crowd, there are not just three Jews. Because the best of the land of Judah were brought, there were many more than Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And they bow the knee. Their faith was tested, yet they failed. But these three stand. What allowed them to confidently defy the king, even when given another chance? I want you to notice several things with me from this passage that will help us understand what are the resources of faith. First, would you notice with me that these men were able to stand. These men were able to defy the king because of their ability to have a faith in God, a faith in the ability of God to deliver them. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we often refer to them, they had a faith in the ability of God to deliver them. They believed that God's power was able to prevail over the power of the king. If you were here with us on Wednesday night, we looked at Psalm 13. Psalm 13 is a psalm that really David writes in the days of his flight from King Saul. David had been anointed king, and yet he is not able to enter into the palace and be the king. He is now living in the wilderness, dwelling in caves, running for his life because Saul is hunting him down. And that which causes David to be able to rejoice in the Lord and to sing the psalms of praise is this simple truth: Jehovah is my God. The word Jehovah, the name Jehovah, reminds us that he is a God of promise. The name for God, Elohim, reminds us he's a God of power. And folks, you and I are able to walk by faith when we believe that God is able to deliver. He is Elohim. He has the power to deliver us. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed he had the power to deliver them from the king. Would you look with me, please, down at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, after he gives him the second chance, this opportunity to fall down and worship his image, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. Okay. By faith, they believed in the ability of God to deliver them. How often do you and I profess a faith in God's ability in general, yet when faced with a specific need, a certain complication, we doubt the ability of God? Is he able? Is he able to meet our every need? Is he able to deliver us? Folks, over and over again in the scriptures, we will find them replete with verses that speak of the ability of God to do that which seems to us to be impossible. The home church that I grew up in claimed as its verse as a ministry, Mark 10:27. Those words were written on the back wall of our church. As we would go in and out of our congregation, we would see it. Basically, Mark 10:27, the Lord Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Amen? Do you believe in the ability of God to deliver? That even for that which seems to you and me impossible, it is not impossible for God. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, Jeremiah expresses the same belief. He says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. God confronted Abraham with this same truth in Genesis 18 and verse 4, where the Lord would simply ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham, nearing 100 years of age, and his wife, nearing 90. They can't have a son. That's impossible. Not with God. There is nothing too hard for him. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We had the wonderful reminder given to us by the Apostle Paul. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And to that statement we add, amen. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you and I could ask or think. These three men had the resource of faith, understanding that God has the ability to deliver them. But they also had a confidence in the willingness of God to deliver them. Again, look at the verses with me down in verse 16 and 17. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They express their belief that he is able. But notice the confidence that they have. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They walked with a confidence in the willingness of God to deliver them. To know God is to be assured of his absolute willingness to intervene in the way that he sees best and for that which is of our highest interest. By the way, folks, let me just say this to you. That which might be best and that which might be of the highest interest may not be always delivery from a trial, but it may be, as the case with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, delivery through the trial. And what you're going to note is the compensations that he gives for them as they go through the trials and endure. There is a confidence in the willingness of God to deliver them. Because of this confidence, these three men were able to remain loyal to their God. This loyalty caused them to stand for their God while others bowed the knee to the king and to his idolatry. These three men stood without fear. They stood without apology to men. They stood because they feared the Lord their God and were fully confident in his ability and his willingness to deliver. Again, however, the way the Lord delivers us may not be the way that we envision, but our confidence is still in him. There's another resource to their faith, and that is simply this. There's an acceptance to the sovereignty of God. Would you look at verse 18? In verse 18, we find three simple words that really give to them this confidence of faith. Notice what it says. Verse 17, our God whom we serve is able. He will deliver us. But notice how verse 18 begins. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Their faith was strong enough to say, but if not. Now, folks, those aren't easy words to say. My God is able, my God is willing, but if not, my faith will not waver. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego declare to Nebuchadnezzar, even if God would not deliver them, they would be resolved not to worship the golden image because their loyalty belonged to Jehovah Elohim, the God whom we serve. By the way, folks, consider this with me. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when thrown into the fiery furnace, died, were they delivered? Absolutely. They were transported to glory. And their faith was recognized. These men had a confidence to believe in God, a faith strong and true. I want you to notice next with me the implications of their faith. Although each of us would like to say, yes, I have a faith that will not waver, there are some implications of faith that you and I need to consider. And I think these men must have considered these things before, in their own heart and in their own life. Perhaps in some ways they had discussed that on their journey to the land of Babylon. They were resolved at the moment that they entered in that they would not be defiled by this land, along with Daniel, who seems to be the leader of this band. But folks, the reality is there are some implications of faith that you and I need to consider, because we would like to be able to say, if confronted with the same kind of choice, what would we do? Again, I want to remind you, there were many Jews in the crowd, but only three stood. Everyone else bowed. What would we do if our faith is tested in such a way? Implications of faith. Number one, would you note with me that faith is always confronted with a choice. When you and I decide to walk by faith, faith is always confronted with a choice. You can either choose the high road, you can choose the low road. These three men were not asked to deny their faith just to bow down. But they would not even bow to the image of the king. They understood that although summoned for a dedication for this image, what the king really desired was deification. And by bowing, they would deny their God and their faith. Faith always chooses the highest and best, even if it cost us the most. Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, I'm going to give you another opportunity. I kind of like you three guys. I kind of like you ever since that time you and Daniel stood up in my chambers to those who were trying to feed you my food, and you said, no, we're going to eat pulse and water. We're going to go on a vegetarian diet. I've kind of always been impressed with you, young man.
So maybe you just didn't understand the instructions. When the music plays, you just need to bow. And I'll be sufficed with that because I like you guys. I really don't want to put you into this furnace, so just bow, would you? And their response is, sorry, King, we will not bow. Folks, you notice what it says, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was once a favorable look from the king is now filled with hatred and anger. And these three men, all they had to do was go through the motions and bow. But when confronted with the choice, they chose that which is highest and best, and they stood for their God. The other implication that we need to see is simply this: faith always involves a risk. By stepping out by faith, these three men knew that they might lose their lives. The fiery furnace could be seen. The threat of the king, who is the sovereign ruler of the world. One spoken word, the furnace was theirs. There's a risk to stand for God. And folks, when you and I take a stand for Christ, when we willingly step out by faith, we run the risk of loss. There is time of loss of friends. There's loss of family. There is loss of fame. There could be loss of finance. But when you stand for God, there is the opportunity for a loss, physically speaking, materially speaking. What we must understand, though, is that our reward from God far outweighs the risk that we take here upon earth. I think of the final words that Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Paul understood that faith involved a risk, and so he said to Timothy, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Then he goes on, henceforth, there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day? The day of the judgment seat, when I stand before him and give an account of my life. And not to me only, this reward is given to all them that love his appearing. The reward that God gives far outweighs the risk that we take. But faith, folks, always involves a risk. When you step out by faith, there might be losses incurred here in this life. But the reward of that is eternal is far greater. The third implication to our faith is this, that faith always encounters opposition. When you and I step out in faith, we also know that certainly there will be those who oppose us. And folks, as these three men stand before the king, as they stand before a heathen nation, and they declare their faith in God, and they allow their light to shine in the midst of that darkness, there is obvious implications of the reality of the opposition they face, because there is our enemy, the devil, who seeks to mobilize his forces so that we might in some way have his will imposed upon us, that we would turn back. He is the ruler of this world today. But can I remind you of this fact? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There will be opposition, but our God is able to deliver. Faith is always confronted with a choice. It always involves a risk, and it always encounters opposition. But would you note with me, please, the deliverance of faith? As we seek to remain faithful in the midst of our trials, there are two important lessons that you and I must master concerning the deliverance of faith.
as we understand the story, as we see all that is taking place, as these three men are now thrown in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, yet in the midst of it, there is four walking about in the fires. We understand all of the implications of our faith. There is a wonderful reality about the deliverance of faith. So what do we need to understand? Number one, deliverance from trials is not necessarily our highest good. They could have stood for God, and Nebuchadnezzar could have been so impressed that they were willing to stand against him that he could have said, never mind, I really like you guys. I appreciate the stand that you take. I'm really impressed by your courage to stand in front of me. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar's not an elected official. You know how he got his power, right? He was a warrior king. He was a mean man. He wasn't a kind and gentle little teddy bear kind of guy up there. They're standing before a warrior who had killed many a man brutally. And they say, we know you can throw us into the fire, but we stand for God. And folks, what we discover is this: deliverance from trials is not necessarily our highest good. Our highest spiritual blessing may not come as we are delivered from the trial, but folks, honestly, our highest spiritual good and blessing comes at times when we are delivered in the trial. These three men walk with Christ in the furnace, not outside of it. Four walk in the midst, one like unto the Son of God. Folks, it's my personal belief that who they walked with is Jesus Christ in the flesh. We call that a Christophany. A pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. They walk face to face with God, not outside the furnace. They walk inside. By the way, Daniel experienced that very same power in the midst of the lion's den. Paul found the sufficiency of Christ as he endured the thorn of the flesh, not when it was removed. The second thing that we learn about the deliverance of faith, folks, is this: the ways of the Lord are not equal. I think sometimes it's hard for us to accept this fact. The ways of the Lord are not always equal in his dealings with his people. God does deliver some from trial, and he delivers others some in the trial. James left prison to be executed, while Peter left prison to go to a prayer meeting. We need not look around and see how God is dealing with others. Instead, we need to be looking to him by faith, knowing he rewards those who are faithful. Again, I marvel by that thought, and it's hard for us. It's hard for us at times to wrap our mind around why some get delivered from and others get delivered in. Because we all would prefer, right, delivered from. We don't want to have to go through and be delivered in. We want to be delivered from. We don't want to be walked through the trial. We don't want the waters to come up over us and not drown. We don't want them to come at all. We don't want the floods to be there at all. We want everything always to be sunny and bright and blue skies. That's not life. Some say, well, Pastor, I always seem to have to go through it and I never get from it. The ways of the Lord are not always equal. But still he delivers. And still he compensates. And so I want you to see with me the compensations of faith. The faith of these three men did not go unrewarded, nor will our faith go unrewarded. And again, I'll say it one more time, God's compensation package far exceeds that of the world's. So what was the compensation for their faith? Go with me again, if you would, to verse 21. Then these three men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot,
The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, who did it kill? The mightiest men of his army. They died instantly when they threw them in. Don't forget that. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I want you to get the imagery. Here is the great Nebuchadnezzar, that great world leader, standing in judgment as his men bind them, walk them over. I can almost just see him standing there on his platform, almost with a smile upon his face. They defied me. They will die. In front of the whole realm of the leaders of his kingdom. It's almost a light. Those men take them. They throw them into the fire. They die instantly. He knows that was a hot furnace. Those guys are gone. And I can almost see him getting ready to turn and go back until his eye begins to notice something's weird. And so we read that he is astonished. He rose up in haste. So I guess he wasn't standing. He was sitting on his throne. So forgive me for my imagery there. I just saw that a little differently in my mind. That's the problem with sanctified imagination. Sometimes they're wrong. But you ought to use your sanctified imagination from time to time. It helps. Here's what he says. Did we not cast three men into that fire? Then why in the world do I see four walking in the midst of that fire? My three strongest men in my army just died, and yet these three Hebrews are walking, and there's a fourth one, and he's like a spirit. He didn't understand it was Jesus Christ. We understand that differently from Scripture. But no doubt he's astonished. He's amazed. He goes on, verse 26, he calls them out of the fire. And folks, when we come out, what the Bible tells us is you can't even smell a hint of smoke upon them. Now, they were bound with rope, thrown in with their hats, thrown in with their outer garments, with their hosen. All of that should have burned, and you could not even smell smoke. I don't know about you folks. We enjoy going out some nights and going around an open fire pit, roasting some marshmallows, having a good time as a family, just being there. When I'm done with that, the next thing on my agenda is a shower, because I can't stand the smell of smoke all night. And I'm just sitting by a fire that ain't all that hot. And these men, you can't even smell the hint of smoke. There is not a single part of their garment that has been touched by the fire. What's the compensation package of God? Number one, would you note with me? There is companionship with the Son of God. We've always noted that. But note it again. Their faith was rewarded in a way they did not expect. In fact, it would seem that their faith was not rewarded at all. But God in his mercy and love provided for them a wonderful reward. He gave them the opportunity to walk with him and talk with him face to face. There is companionship with the Son of God. Folks, when you and I walk by faith in this world, God's compensation is companionship. He has promised, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. David was able to say, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen those righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. He is ever near. In fact, James says, draw nigh to God. He draws nigh unto you. Fathom that, folks. That the God of eternity, more powerful than the king Nebuchadnezzar, says, if you approach me, I approach you, and I join in you with fellowship. Where two or three gather together in his name by faith, he is in the midst. That's a phenomenal thought. Going through a trial as a family, husband and wife gather together by faith and prayer, Christ says, I'll join you in that meeting. Gather your family together, God says, I'll join your family there. Where two or three gather together, I will be in your midst. There's a companionship with the Son of God. The second thing I want you to note with me is there is control of the flames. The flames only burnt that which bound them. They don't come out bound. They are walking free. But their garments are not touched. They're not scorched. They do not smell. The flames freed them to walk with Christ. Folks, our God, through the midst of our trials, is able to free us to a greater companionship with himself. There's one final compensation that I see, and that is this. There is a vindication of their faith. What a great reward was given to these men as they were able to come out of the fire and again stand before the king. Their faith vindicated. Others never came out of the fire, yet their testimony still stand for the Lord. Read again Hebrews chapter 11. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read through some of the things which speak of the faith of those who are willing to stand. And folks, here's the reality. Their testimony remains. They were vindicated before the king. Folks, our vindication one day may only come as we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he looks upon our life and he says to you, to me, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You and I look at things and say, boy, wouldn't it be so much better if I could just not have the complications? If I could not have these circumstances which are so difficult? If I didn't have to deal with financial losses, if I didn't have to deal with a loss of a job, if I didn't have to deal with the difficulties within family relationships or problems at work, wouldn't it just be so much better if God would deliver me from every complication? And yet God says, but I would prefer to compensate you through the complication. With companionship, with me, I control the flames and I control the floods and I vindicate. And when we stand before him and we hear, well done. Can I ask the honest question? What will 70 years look like in eternity? Seriously. What will 80 or 90 years look like compared to an eternity with this stamp of approval? Well done. Just saw a post just the other day, I think on social media, where some years ago, a missionary who had labored all of his life left feeling like he had failed because nothing happened in his time there. And yet now folks have gone back to that very same location and what they have found is a thriving church for Jesus Christ. He himself never saw that happen. That's a vindication of faith. Our God compensates those who follow him by faith. Are you willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Folks, the reality is a trial's going to come, and in our humanity, we're going to struggle, right? We are. Because we can't begin to comprehend. We can't begin to understand. So we look at things and we say, well, why? And we have sorrow of heart. As we looked at Wednesday night from Psalm 13, sorrow can be turned to song with a simple belief in the God of whom we serve. What caused these men to stand? They believed in God. By faith, they believed He is able, He is willing to deliver. But if not, that did not change their view of God. Circumstances, complications should never change our understanding of who God is. Because in the end, He will reward. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, our God is not an unjust God. Our God is not an unloving God who will forget our labors of love. You say, Pastor, I'm not rewarded here on earth. Don't worry about that. The rewards of earth, moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But rewards that are eternal, no one can take away. And if I have to wait till I get to heaven to hear well done, isn't that all we need? Do we need the approval of men? Which comes and goes in moments of time. Let's face it, today you can approve of me, today you can love me, tomorrow you can hate me. And we're that fickle, and we're that quick. But the love of God never goes away, and His eternal rewards cannot be taken from us. What would you rather have? The statement of men, well done, and that fade away. Or the stamp of approval upon your life for all eternity, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's how we get it. We walk by faith. God vindicates, He compensates those who follow Him by faith. Let that be the challenge of our heart and life in the days to come. Father, we thank You for our time today. We thank You for the study and the truth that we can walk by faith. It's not easy, Lord. We know that in our own humanity, we struggle with it. We would desire to have every complication removed, every bad circumstance changed. Yet the reality is, You are willing to compensate those who walk by faith, who believe in You, who do not charge You foolishly, but understand that You love unconditionally. So, Father, I pray that You would cause us to be a people willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, thank You, Lord, and praise You for the opportunity that we have to walk and live for You in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.